Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome all to this evening's meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussions of in-committee items. I remind members of their obligation under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any of the item of business of the committee here today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except with council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work in a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is the next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again until it's lit up red, or you'll lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and this has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on any issue before the remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all have in the chamber have spoken. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. Okay, so have we any apologies?
From the Chief Executive, Murray Ward.
Okay. Councillor Hart.
Apologies from Councillor Mathers, Councillor Brennan, possibly Councillor Hurley, and all other members are online.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hart. Any declarations of interest? No? Okay, moving on to item 3 on the agenda, which is the presentation by NI Water. I'll just hand over to the folks here. I just want to introduce yourselves and then we can get ahead with the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Right, good evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and councillors, for the opportunity to present to you this evening. I'm Steve Blockwell. I'm the Head of Investment Management in the Engineering and Sustainability Directorate. I'm joined by Valerie Crozier, who's NI Water's Stakeholder Manager. And our presentation will cover NI Water's investments and the main challenges that we're facing as a company in terms of investment growth and the environment. NI Water was formed in 2007 and operates under the Companies Act 2006, ensuring compliance with UK corporate governance standards. We're independently regulated, which means our operations and performance are subject to external oversight for transparency and accountability. The Department for Infrastructure, or DFI, is our sole shareholder. DFI has a statutory duty to ensure the company is properly funded so we can deliver essential services effectively. The utility regulator determines the level of funding required to deliver our agreed business plan, and this ensures that our financial resources align with regulatory expectations and customer needs. Our efficiency and performance are independently benchmarked against peers in Great Britain, and this comparison helps us maintain competitiveness and drive continuous improvement. DFI is responsible for providing CDEL, or Capital Departmental Expenditure Limit, funding for all capital investment, and RDEL, which is Resource Departmental Expenditure Limit, to cover operational costs and the running of the business. The current price control period is PC21, and that runs from 2021 to 2027, and the work is currently underway for the next phase, PC28, which involves developing the price control business plan for the period to 2033. NI Water plays a vital role in everyday life for consumers across Northern Ireland. It delivers 605 million litres of clean, safe drinking water daily to over 920,000 homes and businesses through a vast 27,000-kilometre network of water mains. Once used, the water becomes wastewater, and 360 million litres of it every day, which NI Water collects from 750,000 properties via a 16,500-kilometre network of sewers and over 1,300 pumping stations. This wastewater is then treated at more than 1,000 treatment works to protect public health and the environment. Behind the scenes, this essential service relies on a complex, energy-intensive system, making NI Water the largest electricity consumer in Northern Ireland. Yet for most consumers, the process is seamless and often taken for granted. Much of the infrastructure is legacy built, meaning many assets are operating at or beyond their intended capacity, which adds to the challenge of modernising the system. To give you a sense of the scale and importance of assets within your district, on the water supply side, on the map on the left, shows the locations of impounding reservoirs and service reservoirs. We've got around 70 of those assets. And these reservoirs are critical infrastructure forming the backbone of raw water collection and distribution of treated drinking water across the district. On the wastewater side, there are 34 wastewater treatment works within the district. These facilities handle the collection and treatment of wastewater from communities and populations equivalent or greater than 250. So it includes small villages. For properties below that threshold, households typically rely on septic tanks for wastewater management. So it's widely recognised that Northern Ireland faces significant wastewater treatment and network capacity issues. The conceptual model on that slide illustrates how combined wastewater and stormwater systems are intended to operate. Network spills should only occur during severe storm events. In practice, the situation is different. There are approximately 2,500 storm overflows across Northern Ireland, and the wastewater infrastructure is outdated and underfunded, which impacts on the environment, the economy and housing development. Despite treating 360 million litres of wastewater every day, the system is undersized. It relies heavily on storm overflows to prevent flooding, leading to frequent environmental spills outside of severe storms. Of the 2,500 storm overflows, 40% or 950 are classified as unsatisfactory intermittent discharges. And these are major polluters and require urgent upgrades. In this district council area alone, there are 285 storm overflows and 41 are classified as unsatisfactory. When NI Water was formed in 2007, a regulatory dispensation allowed lower environmental standards temporarily, pending infrastructure improvements. Unfortunately, investment was delayed for years and only addressed in the PC21 business plan, which aims to meet higher standards by 2027. To protect water quality and reduce harmful algal blooms, we must avoid further overloading the system. This has resulted in restrictions on new housing and business connections, directly impacting economic growth. Specific areas within your council district will be impacted by capacity issues that are outside of solutions that can be developer funded. This may be for one of the following reasons. An area within the wastewater network that is closed to any further connections due to high polluting assets. The wastewater treatment works within the catchment is operating at or above its design capacity. The availability of funding to undertake the required capital upgrades to existing assets. Some of the areas of the following towns are affected by network constraints, and you can see them all listed there. Ansborough, Ballinahinch, Cranfield, Downpatrick, Dundrum, Kilkeel, Macarrar, Newry and Saintfield. There are also wastewater treatment works at capacity in the district, and they're set out in that slide. So it's evident that long-term sustainable funding is required. Short-term injections of surplus funds help, but they're not a sustainable solution for critical infrastructure. Independent bodies and stakeholders have called for a comprehensive review of alternative funding and governance arrangements for NI Water, led by suitably qualified experts. And this is evidenced by the reports you can see there, which were produced in 2024 and 2025 by the NI Audit Office, the NI Fiscal Council, and a joint report from the Northern Ireland Federation of Housing and Construction Employer Federation. The existing independent economic regulatory process has clearly identified the level of funding required, yet investment certainty remains absent. So this slide summarises Maureen Warren Down Council's ambitions, which I know you're all familiar with, and we have been engaging with the council planners on the draft plan strategy and responded to the recent consultations. So in common with many councils, your draft plan strategy is ambitious, and it has targets for the delivery of 11,000 new homes and the creation of approximately 7,740 new jobs, all by 2035. This slide will highlights the major capital investments that we have scheduled across the district in 2025-2026. The water-related projects are in the blue rows, and these focus on improving resilience. There's the Fofany to Olt trunk main project. This is the largest project there, total of investment of £7.5 million, with nearly £5 million allocated to this financial year. Completion is expected in December 2026 and will address critical supply risk for 31,500 people, caused by low storage capacity at the Fofany water treatment works. We also have the Ochna Gun pumping station, which is for drought mitigation. Primarily, it's a £4.5 million project with £1.36 million planned for this year. This will reduce pressure on the Fofany supply area during drought and also during routine maintenance of the works. The wastewater projects are shown in the orange rows, and they focus on compliance and capacity. You have Newry there, a £9.5 million base maintenance project, with £5 million being invested this year. You have Drummond S, total investment of £6 million, with £1.96 this financial year. You have Rough Island Stevie Valley pumping station upgrade. That's a £1.4 million investment to increase wastewater capacity and support future development. You also have the Dundrum wastewater treatment works, a £2.25 million investment with about £1.2 million this year, which is to ensure compliance with total nitrogen and fecal coliform standards and maintaining consent parameters during the PC21 period. Also at Kilkeel, there's a river sewer remediation scheme of a £500,000 project involving sewer relining to improve reliability. I'd like to draw your attention to Arnsborough, where we are making major investments to improve wastewater infrastructure. Due to funding constraints and uncertainty, we're increasingly adopting a two-phased approach to upgrades at wastewater treatment works. Phase one involves an £8 million base maintenance investment that's focused on the efficiency of the Arnsborough wastewater treatment works, ensuring compliance with the NIEA water order consent, and this work is essential to maintain current standards and operational reliability. Phase two will be a capacity upgrade, and phase two is contingent on securing an additional £12 million in CDEL funding, and if approved, this phase will upgrade Arnsborough wastewater treatment works and provide additional capacity to support future development in the area. In addition, there's a £1.2 million project which is underway this financial year as part of the Drainage Area Network Initiative, and this includes upgrading sections of the sewer network, introducing storm separation, and will provide limited additional capacity and help reduce pressure on the system. So as mentioned at the start of the presentation, NI Water develops multi-year business plans known as price controls, and these plans are scrutinised by the utility regulator to ensure they are robust and deliverable and aligned with customer and environmental needs. Once approved, they should be fully funded by the NI government to enable us to meet regulatory standards and long-term infrastructure requirements. And I want to focus on these price controls in the next two slides, as they're central to how we plan, prioritise and deliver investment across the country. During the PC21 period, we set out to begin to address years of wastewater underfunding, impacting the economy and the environment. PC21 investment programme agreed with the utility regulator and all of our major stakeholders was to deliver outputs which would improve Northern Ireland's water and wastewater infrastructure. It included over £2 billion in planned investments with a strong focus on wastewater improvements to protect public health and the environment. The most critical years were in years 4 to 6, which were meant to deliver major upgrades. However, we all know the significant funding challenges faced by the Northern Ireland Executive since 2024, which resulted in NI Water being advised to plan for £321 million per year annual capital budgets. This amount fell far short of what was identified in needs for delivery in PC21, with the utility regulator, where we were to invest approximately £500 to £600 million per year. And we're experiencing an approximate £650 million PC21 shortfall, and the department has communicated that an annual CDA allocation of £321 million is expected for the foreseeable future. In PC21, NI Water is now prioritising its limited funds on maintaining existing assets through planned and reactive maintenance, supporting essential operations to keep the company running via the Management and General Programme, which covers things like IT systems, mobile phones, our fleet, our buildings, and ensuring the continuous provision of safe, clean drinking water across the country. However, this leaves very little funding for wastewater treatment improvements and enhancement of the wastewater network. Without investment in new assets, base maintenance costs will rise significantly over time, further reducing the ability to fund critical upgrades. So here is the PC28 business planning timeline. You can see there with the first red circle on the left. In April 2026, we make our outline capital submission, and that starts to set out the overall size and shape of the plan for the five-year period to April, from April 2028 to March 2033, with a full business plan submission scheduled for the 12th of November 2026. The utility regulator has advised NI Water in its approach and information requirements, which we received earlier this year, and that it should prepare a business plan which sets out what is essential for the company to meet its statutory obligations. It should be an efficient and a deliverable investment plan which meets established needs. However, with our shareholder advising of £321 million per year for the foreseeable future, this leaves very little funding for wastewater improvements and enhancement of wastewater networks. As I mentioned earlier, without that investment, base maintenance costs will rise significantly over time, making it even more difficult to fund critical upgrades. The shortfall will have an impact on our ability to carry out essential infrastructure upgrades and therefore the ability to connect new homes and businesses and to make environmental improvements. So given the very little limited funding available for wastewater system upgrades, NI Water is actively examining alternative strategies to optimise existing infrastructure. The goal is to unlock capacity within current systems, enabling some level of growth while delivering environmental improvements. We've been concentrating efforts in Newry and exploring ways to maximise the performance of the existing network, to create opportunities for limited development without compromising compliance, and to achieve better environmental outcomes, even within current financial constraints. So Newry operates a combined sewage and rainwater system, which is typical of most urban wastewater catchments in Northern Ireland. There are 31 storm overflows designed to protect customer properties, and of these, 27 are classified as unsatisfactory intermittent discharges or frequent spillers, which is a major concern. All network flows gravitate towards the New Point Terminal Pumping Station. You may be aware that this station experiences excessive spilling of dilute wastewater during heavy rainfall, because both the pumping station and also the wastewater treatment works cannot handle peak flows. Another challenge comes from trade effluent. Some traders discharge high-strength effluent, which can cause shock loads to the biological treatment system, making it difficult for the wastewater treatment works to cope. We've had great success working with traders in Newry to address this issue, and ABP is an exemplar company, having invested £1 million in pre-treatment and flow compliance measures. And this proactive approach reduces pressure on the wastewater treatment works significantly, creating opportunities for environmental improvement, economic growth through new housing, and business connections. So you can see NI Water has been exploring alternative ways to connect properties in Newry faster and for less money. Specifically, we wanted to determine what we could do with less money to free up capacity on wastewater treatment works and networks over the short term to medium term. We've identified an opportunity to invest £26 million to facilitate new development rapidly and for less than a traditional upgrade solution. This is not without risk, and we may well require significant upgrade investment across the wastewater system in the future, wherever it is a promising way forward. So in summary, a permanent funding solution for Northern Ireland's water and wastewater infrastructure is required. Short-term injections of surplus funds help, but are not a sustainable solution for critical infrastructure. And unfortunately, without urgent change to the wastewater system, Northern Ireland faces persistent and worsening pollution, severe restrictions on new housing development, will be reduced attractiveness for investment and slower business development. I'd like to thank you for inviting us to the council meeting this evening, and Valerie and I are happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much, Stephen. So are there any questions from the floor, please? Professor Andrews.
Oh, sorry. First of all, thank you very much for your presentation here at Council, Stephen, and welcome back. And I'd like to place on record your customer service team for their many courtesies, their kindnesses, and helpfulness any time I would get in touch with them. And they do get back in good time and very helpful. So again, to them, well done. And thank you very much for your presentation. But as a Rowallan councillor, there are points of concern that have been raised by my own constituents, and I'm sure the other, I think it's four Rowallan councillors here today, that I'm sure you'll be hearing from the four of us or whatever exactly different points of concern that they would be raising too. You know, I feel at Saintfield, you know, I actually stopped along the road. I was out in the road one day, and it was actually one of the residents stopped. I mean, he was still voicing concerns about the old Grand Jury Road area in Saintfield, because I know several years ago, Jim Shannon, former MLA, Simon Hamilton, and myself and other councillors at the time that met with residents in NI Water, you know, about the concerns about capacity. And concern to raise to exactly Sinnfield, right across, and like it mirrors a lot of towns and villages over the years. I've seen a lot of expansion, you know, and the likes of the accessible pump stations in Sinnfield, you know what I mean? That, you know, it doesn't seem to have the capacity or ability. And Dara Cross too is another area that has seen rapid expansion, and again, the residents sort of feel that exactly what's in place, you know, doesn't fit the capacity. And, you know, Killay Cross Gar, I know years ago Cross Gar was affected by smells. That's just around about the time I came on to council, and I know NI Water at the time had upgraded the accessible facilities on where the Kilmore Road is, and as a result, piped all of Cross Gar, whatever. I'm not going into detail, but we've all known it ended up piped down to the Killay, a facility that I believe is under severe enough pressure, you know, and with issues with Inishmore, which was upgraded and repaired.
Mr. Andrews, do you have a question here?
I think, sure, we should be getting... I just wanted to get in the flavour of what's going on. It's actually going to...
I'm pretty sure that the water are fully abreast.
I've only been in our 30
minutes. Do we have a question for Stephen or Valerie?
Well, by the time I finish my points, they'll know what I'm talking about, and I'll leave it at that. I'm not being disrespectful to you, Chair. I wasn't going to be...
I'm just trying to avoid any waste of time.
It's not waste of time, Chair. It's important.
Okay.
Thank you. And I'm sorry if I come across...
No, I'm just trying to allude to the questions.
Look, tell you what. No, it'll do. I'll have a word with the officers afterwards. Okay.
Thank you very much, Councillor Andrews. Any other questions from the Chamber? Right, just for clarity, Terry, I asked you if there was a question.
I'll have a word with the officers afterwards, I think.
You're more than welcome to.
No, but I'll just say I'll have a word with the officers afterwards, but thanks, Erna as well. So I'll talk to them after.
Is it ready?
Yeah, Chairman, thank you for coming. You're very welcome to the New Year Morning Down. My major concern as a Warren's DEA councillor representing the southern side of the mountains is the lack of investment detailed anywhere in your future plans. And I am continually contacted by developers in particular who are very frustrated that there have been their plans are being delayed or halted entirely because there is insufficient capacity within the network in the Kilkeelan along area. And obviously we would like to see an upgrade to the sewage treatment plant in Kilkeel to increase capacity to allow these developments to go ahead, because it's a really difficult situation that we're in that there are so many people want to get into their first home, and they just can't get any housing in Kilkeel at the minute, and it's making the price escalate because the demand's so great. And so that is a really important point for us, and I would have liked some assurance from you that there will be investment in the Moran's DEA. And you've mentioned Urea and all those schemes that you listed there. The only one in Kilkeel was the sewer pipe and down the river. And we were disappointed because a lot of the manholes that were made redundant, the inspection hatches, wherever they are, that were made redundant by the relining the pipe, they are still in situ. And we had hoped that they would be taken out just to improve the aesthetics. But like for 0.48 of £1 million, it seems an incredible amount of money for the work that was done there. Not complaining, but you know, if we could focus on really getting that increase in capacity to allow the development to go ahead. And another issue, Chairman, is individual planning applications. If you are a statutory consultee, apparently there are a lot of delays in getting a response back from NI Water. So if you could look into that for us, I know that would be very useful. Architects are onto the council, but the council's only as quick as the slowest ship in the convoy. you know what I mean. And we're depending on organisations like NI Water, Road Service, whatever, to come back quickly to allow those planning applications to be processed. But that's my gripe. There's some individual queries I have, but I'll send those down in, in an email to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Rennett.
Yeah, no, well, we sort of acknowledge the capacity constraints. You know, it's a key theme in the presentation there. It is challenging across the whole of the country. We're going forward into our PC28 planning period, so everything will be sort of prioritised and then subject to available funding. But the key message that I was having to put out there was that with the limited, likely limited sort of cap, if you like, of a 3 to 1 million per year investment from Northern Ireland government, that means there'll be very little for wastewater upgrades. And that, of course, causes, you know, great difficulties for developers and first-time buyers, and we acknowledge that. We have been looking at alternative approaches, and we have bolstered our developer services team, and we've got the three-step process. We encourage everyone to approach the company early with the pre-development inquiries, go into the wastewater impact assessment process, where we try and identify opportunities in the catchment, whether it's to take out stormwater and the like, which might create a little bit of capacity. But these are, I suppose, small tweaks rather than the big investment that we would all like. You know, in terms of the timeframes, we have got turnaround times for all those pieces of work. But what we're finding is that, you know, you have to do these wastewater impact assessment involves modelling, looking at individual circumstances. The solutions are bespoke if they can be identified. But as I pointed out, one of the maps, you know, there are areas within certain networks where we can't find a solution. We've been very good at finding solutions, but there's a law of diminishing returns. You know, that's the difficult situation that we're in, Councillor Riley.
Could I just ask, Chairman, if a developer offers to put in their own treatment plant, apparently you don't really encourage that because you would have to adopt it and maintain it in future years. Is that right?
So the NIEA, the Environment Regulator, provides the consent. So that's the most difficult hurdle, is to get the consent to discharge. They may have reasons why they don't want to have additional treatment works across a catchment. It makes it more another source of almost like diffuse pollution, if you like. So as our view is that we're very limited in our resource Dell allocations as well. So any additional asset that comes on board, we need funding to cover that or more staff. So that's the conundrum that we're all in. You know, really it is, we should have centralized, I suppose, investment in the larger works rather than putting up small pop-up plants around the district or around the country. So they're all, so it's the suboptimal solutions, and NIEA realise that themselves, and they're, I suppose, not encouraging that as a way forward. And definitely for us, it doesn't fit our funding model.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks, Chair. And another question. Thank you. Thanks for bearing up with me. Just a question I'd like to ask is, what is NI Water going to do with capacity issues, an upgrade and investment of facilities in the Rowallan area, and also what efforts to deal with pollution incidents as well?
Thank you, Councillor Andrews.
Yes, Chair. Well, so it's a similar answer. Councillor Andrews, you know, we will put it into the PC28 process, and it will be prioritised against, you know, base maintenance, which is to keep the roof on the house watertight before we build a garage or do, you know, improve our assets, the upgrades, clean, safe drinking water, managing the company, you know, through the management and general program to keep our assets, our fleet and all on the road so that we can operate efficiently. So we have to put those in place. Only after we've done all that, what's left over goes into wastewater. And our processes we prioritise with all our regulators. So you'll have NIEA, you'll have Consumer Council NI, we'll also have, well, we have DFI, Utility Regulator, you know, so that is the process that we set out, and you could see that on the Utility Regulator site, if you like, the whole process and the direction, and we are awaiting social environmental guidance from the department that gives us direction as well for the next price control that hopefully will come out sometime next year.
Thank you,
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and thanks very much for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Andrew. Councillor Bosie.
Yeah, just to add my to converted here, just about the under investment across the district. It's good to see that Kildare, Saintfield and Ballinahinch have all been recognised as in a need of investment. The concern that residents in both Saintfield and Kildare particularly have is with their village status changing to town status and the pressures that that will put on planning, and they're not convinced that the wastewater treatment and storm overflows and sewage systems generally will keep up with the development if they change the town status. Particularly in Saintfield, you know, there's a new development there that's within 8 years for their road to be adopted. I think one of the problems, is NI Water not taking a permanent hand developer to get his sewage system up to standard so that it's adoptable by DFI. So we looked at there about the role that NI Water have and down a bit firmer with developers. I don't know if it's something could ever be done, but in Kildare you have actually Kildare Dippers using the harbour area, and there's a storm overflow that goes right into that area. So perhaps if that could be moved up the lock more, that if there's those at the Dippers on.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Blessing.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, if that's moving to village to town status, then I presume that's part of the local development plan. So I suppose we will work with councils on the local policies plan stage where that sort of detail comes out, and the key thing really is phasing of development in line with the infrastructure that needs to be in place before it can be connected. So we'll give a response, as a statutory consultee, based on our latest information, how the networks or how the works are operating, how close they are to capacity, et cetera, so that we don't knowingly connect something that's going to cause more pollution. And we've got those tools with the wastewater impact assessment as well, that again, we look for quick wins in the catchments where we can. And it's, so it's just a difficult situation out there. Do you know anything about the harbour, Valerie?
No, and I know it has been raised previously, and something we'll probably raise on, and we're aware of it. I think options are for that. It was just on your point of the same thing development, and I don't know if you could, once the development is completed, it's up to the developer really to offer it up to NI Water for adoption. That's if there's an Article 1 on the site that has been entered, and I will adopt it if it's up to our standard, but if it's not, then we wouldn't want to adopt it until we take control of it, but and give us the details of it. Keep it from.
Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation tonight. Could I just ask a quick question on the Ballinahinch drainage area plan, just if you could elaborate a wee bit on that and what it would mean for the area, and also thinking about the capacity impact on as well. Thank you.
I'll have to come back to you on that, Councillor, at the session. I haven't got the detail on one, unfortunately.
Okay. Any other questions from the Chamber? Mr. Lee Sargentner.
Thank you, Chair. Is this just a reiterating Councillor Bowsey's comments in relation to Kildare? I do get a lot of comments and queries, especially after a storm or major severe weather, and the Inishmore wastewater treatment plant seems to go operational, and there's large discharge. You know, it's all, I got pictures, not everything, where the wastewater that comes out is not very pleasant and is going straight into the bay where the dippers are swimming. You know, we get a lot of queries. I know that Councillor Andrews and I have been tagged before where there's these just very suspicious looking discharge, you know, going to Dibney and flowing out. And I just feel like more needs to be done to tackle this, because we're always constantly getting contacted. I'm sure all of us in Welland are getting contacted by this, asking us, what is this thing that's going into the river? And then your reps, I know that they're busy and they come back. They come back the day after the storm, it's all flowed out, and the response we always get is, oh, it's just normal discharge. There's nothing to be worried about. I mean, so I feel like there needs to be more done at the time of the incident, you know, of reporting, and also more needs to be done in terms of stopping these or trapping more of these strange-looking discharge that flows out into the river or into Shankar Loch.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Sergeant.
Right, yeah. So this is part of the operation of the works under storm or severe storm condition. So they should only operate under severe storms, and those sort of it really just stops things backing up into people's homes and flooding homes. So it's a safety valve as such. It is unsatisfactory, but as you know, and we've got 2,500 across the country. Maybe you should report to NI Water, but there's also the Environment Agency as well. They can collect samples. Part of their duty as the environmental regulator, so that might be someone you might want to try.
Thank you, Steve. Any other questions from the chamber? No? Okay, Councillor Lewis.
Chair, thank you, and just take opportunity to thank the reps for coming along here this evening. Could I focus on Dundrum and issues within Sleeve Croob that we're pleased to see that this is now reaching the final phase. I understand that there's the first phase and this is the second phase. Can I ask that once these upgrades in Dundrum and Sirum and S are complete, approximately how many additional housing units will be added to what the system can take? And do you determine that this will resolve the current restriction on build within Dundrum and the Dundrum S area? And just I want to ask a question around the NIEA discharge consents. So is it the fact that your plants have any physical restrictions, or has there been any recent change over the last 10 years to how NIE approach this, how they assess this, and has tighter constraints or a revised modelling left you in a difficult situation, that you are having to do more upgrades and further upgrades to plants? So it's rather it's policy rather than actual system.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So the upgrades to the plant in Dundrum, I suppose they could get compliance or maintain compliance for nitrogen and for bacteriological compliance in PC21. So those will be completed. You know, the issue in Dundrum is more to do with the networks and the pumping stations. So those are issues there. We're still trying to work through things with NIEA. Yes, there has been a lot of integrated environmental modelling. So that has been working its way through the system. There are also technicalities like where the outfall should be. You've got shellfish waters out there. Also, that it's to take the effluent out to a mean low water spring. So that creates a lot of challenges. You're probably talking the millions of pounds worth to extend to the mean low water spring point. There are sand dunes or National Trust sand dunes in the area as well. So that will be challenging. So we're trying to work through those things, and we're engaging with NIEA. We have meetings with them on a regular basis, and they're having to work this through their I suppose, dearer, you know, with the marine staff as well as the normal water regulation teams as well. So that's still a bit of a work, well, still is a work in progress. But we have got detailed designs for the pumping stations. So we were ready to go. We just have to agree these solutions with NIEA and see if there can be some changes to reflect the challenges around mean low water spring. So you could say, yes, it has made things maybe a bit more challenging for NI water, but the modelling was required because you have got shellfish orders and you've got the bay. So we had to understand how the system worked, and it's not just the point sources from the wastewater treatment. There are other elements in the catchment as well that cause you know, pollution or bacteriological input into the bay. We had to understand that as well with NIEA. There's a lot of bird life there, so there's a lot of waste from birds as well. So that comes up in the samples. But it's challenging, and we're trying to work our way through the process with NIEA, and we can keep you updated. But I'm not quite sure when they'll be included at the moment.
Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Thank you. Chair, it was just on that question of will these upgrades in 2026 resolve the current constraint of building in Dundrum, and how many additional connections do you envisage that the upgrades will actually leave us with there for Dundrum?
We'll have to look into that and come back to you, Councillor.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Devlin.
Yes, thank you. Chair, I suppose at the start, I also want to thank Northern Ireland Water. I know that I've been quite critical, should I say, particularly in the aftermath of the November and the Christmas 2023 floods in the Newcastle area. But I have to say, since Kieran McNally has come into post, the communication with myself and with other elected members has been really, really good, and I'm really keen to have that noted here publicly in this forum. I think, Stephen, in terms of your presentation, it is clear the sort of really difficult financial times that we're living in, but also the responsibility that DFI has to adequately fund yourselves in terms of the need that exists right across the board. In your presentation, I know you've mentioned, you know, investment, critical upgrades, but I don't see Newcastle there. I suppose I would like it raised, I suppose, specifically the recurrent issues in Marguerite Avenue and the constant threat of flood in the wider area due to surface water and the ineffectiveness, I suppose, of that pumping station when it rains really, really heavily. We do now have the temporary protocol by Northern Ireland Water and WIFE that has been tested on a number of occasions and is working. We're very, very grateful of that, but we still don't have the permanent fix that the residents want and deserved. We were told that there was going to be a mini drainage assessment and that would take place, but the results of that continue to be pushed out. And the most recent update we had was that the results of that assessment are now being pushed out to spring 2026. And I suppose from my end, that's just unacceptable. You know, we have a superb community flood resilience group in Newcastle, but they too are feeling let down by these delays by Northern Atlantic Water and by government in general. And I know funding is an issue, but I suppose from our perspective, you know, it's vital that that hydraulic assessment is published and Northern Atlantic Water's plans to deal with that nightmare and the resident that that these residents continue to live every time they hear it rain. You know, we've got some properties in that area that were flooded twice in the space of 2 months. Like, even just imagine that dirty flood water through your house quite literally days after it's only dried out previously. It's just horrendous. So I suppose, you know, whenever it rains heavily, we also have residents there who are actually afraid to go to sleep, and that's their daily life. And we've had loads of rain recently, so it's been really difficult. So I suppose, Chair, getting to your question, you know, we need to see Northern Ireland Water's proposals for Marguerite Avenue and a timeline, as the residents really deserve that at least. So I suppose just this evening, Stephen or Valerie, can you tell me, are you aware of the issues in Marguerite? And if so, have you maybe an update in terms of the works that's needed there that you can provide to us this evening? Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Devlin.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Yes, we are aware of the issues in Marguerite Park. We have been pushing as well to get the results from our modellers and consultants. So we're keen to get that information through so we can start looking at what a potential solution would look like. It will take a bit of time, which I know you don't want to hear, but that's the reality with these things, and flooding is difficult to address. We have got those properties on our DG5 internal flooding register, so that's a big investment driver. So we'll need to, as I say, go through these solutions, identify what would be required, and in terms of funding, and then that will have to go into our mix as well. With PC28 planning, I would say that probably be the most obvious opportunity for those to be pushed forward. The schemes need to be developed, and it does take, say, some time to get these engineering solutions. The temporary protocol does seem to be working well, but yeah, I hear what you're saying about the residents, you know, being fearful in their homes when it rains, and it is horrendous. There are about 77, I think, households across the country that are in a similar situation.
Thank you. Chair, can I come back if that's possible?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose, yeah, no, Steve, I appreciate that. Just from our perspective as well, though, we were given a date that this assessment would be published by, and it's been pushed back again and again. I suppose maybe just to come back again, are you aware of why it's been delayed, or is that something that we could share with the Flood Resilience Group? Because I suppose these people, again, have in their heads a sight of a date as to when this nightmare might end, and it just seems now it's been pushed out. And I suppose if you're being, what's the word, sort of sceptical, you might think, is it being pushed out because we haven't got the money to do it? And it, from their perspective, they want to see something on paper and they want to see a plan. So I fully understand the complexities, but would you be aware of why maybe it has been pushed out and why we're now being, and I wouldn't say fobbed off, I definitely wouldn't say that, but as to why it now is going to be spring as opposed to being autumn?
Well, if I'm honest with you, it's puzzled me why it's taking so long, and we actually got a meeting tomorrow to try and drive this harder and get those results and nail things down for the guys in Newcastle. Okay. So I can't more specific than that, but we are going to push hard for this and drive it through the modelling team and the consultants to come up with the solution. And so we've been puzzled as well, Valerie. I think, you know.
So hopefully before spring, then we're hoping before spring. Thank you. Thanks for your time. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Devon, Councillor Gibbons.
Thank you, Chair. Stephen, it's just a quick one. It's regarding Warren Point. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Councillor Gibbons, we can hear you in the chamber.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. It's regarding the pump station and the discharge coming from the Warren Point end at the front shore, Stephen. We have a huge amount of open water swimmers there. Every year, the membership is getting bigger and bigger, and it's fantastic to see. What exactly, you know, on a regular basis, we would see this discharge. What exactly is it, Stephen, that the open water swimmers would possibly be swimming through? And do you think it's safe for the wildlife and for the open water swimmers to be swimming in and around this discharge when it's there, or should it stay well clear of it? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Well, we treat, you know, the discharge and wastewater treatment works to the NIA consent, so that it's safe to discharge to the environment to recycle those flows out. I don't think it's advisable for anyone to swim in a discharge area. To be honest, I think it's a common sense thing. It's a risk that people might want to take. I wouldn't do it myself, but we treat to the standards, to the water order consent from NIEA. There are designated swimming sites, you know, across the country, and lots of beaches, you know, and people do wild swimming. I wouldn't pick near a discharge point myself.
Okay, thanks, Stephen. Any other questions online or in the chamber? Nope. Okay, thank you everyone else for your attendance this evening. See you from everyone, and see you again. Thank you very much.